Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. And let's just read verse 15. All things are for your sakes. That's our subject. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. And the Apostle Paul gives us here a very comforting statement for every true believer. This is for God's elect. And he says here, all things are for your sakes. Now, I began working on this last week, and I was thinking it was the message I would preach this Thursday. And then this morning, I received a text from Brother Kevin Thacker with pictures of a big tree that fell through his house last night. And so I knew then this is what I was going to preach for sure. And we know from 1 Corinthians 3 that we can apply this in a very wide way. I'm going to look at the context of it a little later in the message. But we know from 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 21 that this applies in a very wide way. Paul said there, "Let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's." So the same man is writing our text that we just read by the same Spirit of God. So we see this can be applied in a wide way, not just only to the context. We will look at that, but this is a wide meaning. So first of all, tonight I want to look at the fact that all things are for your sakes. And then I want to look at the means, the abundant grace of God, and then the purpose, that it through the thanksgiving of many, it might redound to the glory of God, that God be thanked and glorified. Now, everything is for the believer's sake. Everything. And it's all through the abundant grace of God. And the purpose in all of it is to bring us to thank God and to glorify God. Now, first of all, the fact. All things are for your sakes. Now, in eternity, God ordered all things in His everlasting covenant of grace for His elect people. For those He gave to Christ, He ordered all things. David said, "He's made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things." And we're talking about salvation. All things in salvation are yours. All things in salvation are worked out by God for His elect. All things are ours by God's grace. He said He made an everlasting covenant with me, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation. This is it. This is all my salvation. This is all my desire. So from eternity, God the Father trusted the whole work. All things that He ordered. He trusted it into the hand of His Son as the mediator between God and His elect to work out all these things. In Matthew 11:27, the Lord Jesus said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." So He said there clearly that all these things, all the things God ordered in that everlasting covenant of grace, all those things were delivered into Christ's hand. That's what's included there. All the works, all the promises in that everlasting covenant to His people was given to Christ, put in Christ's hand to fulfill the works, to make sure all the promises. And then we know this, all the elect of God were put in Christ's hand. He trusted Him with all His elect. He gave them all to Christ to save them, to keep them, and to bring them to glory and present them complete and whole. And so all things in accomplishing our redemption was in Christ's hand. All things in accomplishing our redemption was in His hand. When He went to the cross, He said, "We're going to Jerusalem right now so that all things shall be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms, all things." And He fulfilled all things. He said, "It is finished." The last thing, one of the last things it says is that all things be fulfilled, that all the Scriptures might be fulfilled. He said, "I thirst." And then He said, "It's finished." He finished all things required, all things written of Him, all things required to redeem His people. And He did it. He did it. He accomplished it. And now all things in revealing the mysteries of His grace are in Christ's hand. He's risen, and God's given Him the authority and the power so that revealing this mystery is all in Christ's hand. He does it through the Holy Spirit. But you remember He said when the Holy Spirit comes, He won't speak of Himself. He'll bring you into remembrance of all things that I've spoken. And so all this revealing of this grace, of all these things, revealing all these things to us in our hearts, that's put into Christ's hand. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. And He reveals it to whomsoever He will. And all the blessings of grace are all in Christ's hand. Every blessing. In you know, Ephesians 1, God said He blessed His people with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places according as He chose us in Christ. All those blessings are in Christ's hand to give to His people. So all things are in His hand. Not only that, all men outside of Christ, all the non-elect are in Christ's hand. All wicked sinners are in His hand. All good angels and all fallen angels. All good spirits and all wicked spirits. It's all in His hand. And He uses them and rules them and accomplishes His purpose for the sake of His people. It's all in His hands. And all things shall be fulfilled by our prophet, priest, and king, because right now the Scripture says this. Go to Colossians 1. I want you to read this. Colossians 1. This is the all things passage right here. Colossians 1. And look at verse 16. It's talking about Christ. He said there about Christ being the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And He's telling here why He's the firstborn. Of everything created, He's the firstborn. For by Him were all things created. See, God put that in Christ's hand to even make the first creation. And He did it because the second creation, the making of the second creation is in Christ's hand. All things were by Him, created by Him, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. I said, good angels, fallen angels, wicked spirits, good spirits, they're all in His hand. The Scripture says, "The Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil." All things is in Christ's hand. It says, verse 17, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." That means they all continue because He's upholding all things. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And He's talking there about all His people. All those that are already with the Father and those that are still in this earth, all His people were reconciled to God by the Lord Jesus. See, all things are in His hand. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. God the Father chose His people and ordered this salvation, and then He trusted into the hands of His Son. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, Christ will have no problem fulfilling all His people with this gospel, because everything's in His hand. And the Scripture says this, God hath put all things under His feet. Right now, He's risen. God hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. And that church is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So, when He calls us, this is what He does. It says, according as His divine power hath given us some things that we got to do. That's not what it said. It says, according as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that's called us to glory and virtue. Now, this is why I've tried to cover from the very election of God to the glorification of His saints and show you it's all in Christ's hand. Everything is in His hand. Scripture says, He shall present us to Himself without spot and blemish. Christ will do that. And all things are of Him. It's all been in His hands. This is why when He calls His people, this is why we declare Christ is all and in all. Because all things are of Him. All things are of Him. Now, for those that haven't believed on Him, don't imagine that you have to come to a certain degree of knowledge. That's self-righteousness. Thinking I have to attain a certain level of knowledge. You have to know Christ. You have to know Christ. What I know about Him, that all things are of Him. And that He is all things. All things are of Him. All things are by Him. And He's all things I need. So He tells us, don't imagine now that there's something else for you to do to acquire something to make you fit to come to Him. He says this, behold, all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. All things are ready. Peter tells us about a salvation prepared. A salvation ready. All things are ready. Nothing is keeping the sinner from Christ but the sinner. Nothing. He's ready to receive His people that come to Him begging mercy. But don't ever think you have to prepare yourself to come to Him. You'll never come to Him. Ever. All things are ready. Now, just as truly as all our salvation is in Christ's hands, so too all things in providence are in His hands. Everything that comes to pass is coming to pass according to our great mediator, as He's ruling everything in heaven and in earth. Everything that's coming to pass. All providence is in His hands. And there, the things He's bringing to pass is just as needful for you and me as the things He's done in salvation. Now think about that. The things that happen to us in this life, they're not happening by accident. They're happening on purpose. Go to Romans 8. And they're all just as needful for us as the things that He's worked in salvation. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For every believer, all things are for your sakes, and all things are worked together by our great God and our Savior for your good on purpose. Everything. Just like our calling was on purpose, everything He's working together for our good is on purpose. Now, when a physician prescribes medicine, that medicine may have one name, but most of the time it has a lot of different things in it. It has a lot of different compounds in it that make that medicine. Now, if you had just one of those compounds, and you took a lot of just one of those, it might very well kill you. But when they work together in just the right amount, it's the medicine you need to cure you. Well, God's making all things work together for good for His people. All things are working together, and none of those things are working separately. Good things are worked with bad things. And the things that make you smile and make you laugh and make you rejoice are worked together with the things that make you cry and break your heart. They're worked together. Temporal things are worked together with spiritual things. All things are worked together for your good. Now, you think about this. The Kellers, y'all had a tree fall on you on that shed that we all worked on over there. I had one fall right behind our house. You know, think about how Kevin and Kimberly thought when they woke, how they felt. When they woke up this morning, there's a tree on their roof and limbs on their car. Now, if God worked that every single day of your life, that wouldn't help you, would it? That wouldn't help us. But He doesn't work things like that every single day of your life. He works that together with some other things. But just as that bad thing would be bad for you, if He didn't work anything but good things for you, it'd be just as bad for you. Just as bad. But He works those things together. It's not the thing alone that is for our good. It's all things work together for our good. Too much prosperity would ruin us the same as too much poverty would ruin us. And the same as too much joy or too much misery, it would ruin us. God knows exactly how and exactly when to work the things together so it'll be for our good. And it's all according to His purpose. Everything's done just the way it should be done by His purpose. But what about those poor saints that suffer wave upon wave upon wave of affliction? I do know some saints that have suffered a long, long time. Some like Paul, he said, I have a thorn in the flesh, and God wouldn't remove it. God wouldn't remove it. He suffered with it all his life. And I know of saints that have suffered a long, long time with things. But I know this. God's given more grace. When He gives more affliction, He gives more grace. He doesn't work one thing alone. If He works a great temporal affliction, He's working that together with a great spiritual blessing of grace. And I know brethren who've suffered some severe, severe trouble. Loss of children, loss of multiple children. Loss of loved ones that they've loved dearly. And I've known brethren to have terminal illnesses. And I've seen this, and I know this is so. You know, we're not doing anything of ourselves. It's always of God's grace. And wherever He gives that kind of a burden, that kind of affliction, He gives more grace. I've seen people suffering. I watched my pastor's wife die of cancer in 6 months. Maybe a little longer than that, but it was fast. And she had more grace and was more happy than some people I know that were well at the time. Wherever He gives affliction, He's going to give grace. You can just bank on that. And the good thing that God's working in this is not what the worldling calls good. It's not what the worldly man calls good. What He's working in this is a true, lasting, spiritual, eternal good. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, after our text, he said, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." He's turning us from this world. We just sang it, Art. That song you sang was better than the one I had picked out to sing. That's not by accident either. Day by day, these things are losing their glory to us, and they're becoming decayed, and all around us we see this decay. And at the same time, God's working it to where Christ is more lovely. And the things that you can't see become more endeared to you. I had something in my life one time, and it was way up here, and my heart for Christ was down here. And by the time God got through, it was just the opposite. I loathed that thing that I once thought I had to have. And I wanted to be with Christ. I wanted to be with His people. I wanted to serve Him. I didn't want to have anything to do with that anymore. God will do that. That's what He's working. In each case, it's so that that suffering saint not only can see Christ and see everything we have in Christ, but so that you can comfort other brethren who are suffering in those kinds of afflictions too. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians 1. Now, this is the context. You know, Paul's been talking about how much he suffered as an apostle for the Corinthians, to bring the gospel to them. That's the context he's been speaking about. And he said that he did it for their sakes. All the things he suffered was for their sakes, so they would have the gospel and they would have life through God's grace. Now look at this. Verse 3. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." Now watch this. "And whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation and your salvation." You see that? He said that whether we be afflicted or whether we be comforted, it's both for the same thing. It's for your consolation and salvation. "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you're partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation." You know, if you go sit down by somebody's bedside that's sick or you know, got something terribly wrong with them, in a hospital or at the house or whatever, that would be a good scripture to read to them. And then tell them your comfort. Because that's why God puts us through these afflictions, is so we can comfort others in any trouble they're in. With the same comfort. And we're comforted with Christ. Christ. So all these things are to bring us to Christ's feet, that we might be used to bring others to Christ's feet through the gospel of Christ. That's what they're for. Now let's look at the means just a moment. The means by which God is doing this is abundant grace. It's all done by His abundant grace. Now everything that God gives to His people, He gives in abundance. All the good things He gives us, He gives in abundance. The Scripture says we have abundant life. Christ came, He said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, I don't know what all that means, but I do know it means this. Adam had life in the garden. He had a sinless life in the garden. But you know the life Adam had, even in that sinless state, is not as good as the life you have right now in a sinful state. And I'll tell you why. Adam could fall. You can't fall. We can't ever be snatched out of Christ's hand. That's abundant life. Life that's eternal. That's what we have by the eternal Lord Jesus Christ. We have an abundant supply for everything we need. Philippians 4:19, Paul said, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's abundant supply. And then abundant entrance. Peter said, "An entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Right now we have abundant entrance. The Hebrew writer said, we got a new and living way through Christ. We can enter in through our high priest, through our Lamb, Christ Jesus. We can enter into the holiest of holies, into Christ's presence. That's something nobody could do in the old covenant. And people now who are trying to come to God under that old covenant still can't do it. But you and I have a new way into the holiest of holies, Christ alone, through faith in Him. And then when this life is over, He's going to give us an abundant entrance into His presence. And then we have abundant satisfaction. The psalmist said, the Lord said through the psalmist, "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." He's not being frugal with His pleasures that He gives to His people. He gives them in abundance. It's not lean, it's fat, His blessings that He gives in His house. And all of these blessings we have in abundance are all by His abundant grace. By His abundant grace. Grace is God's free favor, sovereignly given by God to whom He'll give it. And it's given to helpless sinners that in no way deserve it. Grace. Everything He does for His people is by grace. From election to glory, we're saved by abundant grace. Go to Romans 5. I want you to... this right here pretty much covers it all. Romans 5. And look at verse 20. It says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." And He tells us what that means. "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Sin abundantly reigned over us to kill us. And that was the end of that story. But Christ came along, and by God's abundant grace, now grace reigns. And it reigns through righteousness. God's done it right. He didn't do it at the expense of His justice. He did it right. He honored His law because He killed everybody justly that He saves. He executed us when He slew His Son. So His law is upheld. Justice is satisfied. And when He did that, Christ our Lord justified us of all our sin. So this is abundant life reigning through Christ Jesus. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The Hebrew writer said, He will work in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. He will make you do that which is well-pleasing in His sight. And He's going to do it by giving you and me abundant grace so that we have all sufficiency in all things that we may abound to whatever good work it is He's given us to do. You know, if you and I want to do something for somebody or do something in the cause of Christ, but we don't have a sufficient supply to do it, according to that verse, God hadn't called us to do it. Because if He calls you to do it, He's going to provide all grace so that you have a full sufficiency to do whatever He's called you to do. And listen to this. All God's grace is abundant because it's all given to us through Christ. Everything is abundant grace because it's all given to us through Christ. That verse in Romans 8:32 that we read, where he said, "He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." Now listen, how shall he not with Christ freely, also freely, that's grace, freely give us all things? And so he does. He gives us all things freely by his grace through Christ. Redemption and reconciliation and regeneration, adoption, spiritual gifts, all things in providence. We have to say what Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am." But didn't you do something? I didn't do a thing. Didn't you add? I didn't add a thing. What I am right now, I am by the grace of God. I can't say I contributed anything to my eternal spiritual well-being. Christ did it all. God did it in Christ. Now here's the end purpose. That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. That means that when He's given you all this grace, and He's done all this work, it's going to all go back multiplied by many, thanking God and glorifying God. It's going to start out working in a few, from Christ to His apostles, from His apostles to their disciples, from their disciples in the other churches, and it's come to us. It's been redounding. Wider and wider, with more and more and more people thanking God and giving Him the glory. And that's how He'll keep doing it. He'll keep causing it to work. And now this is true, believer. When it's all said and done, when everything is said and done, every hill and every valley, every season of rejoicing and every tear, all spiritual blessings and all temporal blessings, even those things that didn't look like blessings to us, that just made us mourn and ache in our very being, when it's all said and done, it's going to be said of every child of God what was said of Abraham. Listen to this. Abraham was old and well stricken in age. Now here's what's going to be true of every one of God's people. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. You look at what Abraham suffered. In all of it, God blessed him. In everything he suffered, God was blessing him. And that's going to be true of every one of us. And so, seeing that all things are of God, all things are of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they're all for our sakes, and seeing that it's all by the abundant grace of God, Scriptures tell us this: in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. You know, listen, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Does it mean it's God's will for us to give thanks? Yes. But it means in everything, give thanks. Because whatever's happening to me right now is the will of God. It also means that. This is the will of God. We have a tendency to speak of God's blessed me and He's done something good for me, and we thank God for this or that when it's a good thing. We very seldom thank God when it's horrible and we're on our face and we're crying our eyes out. That's just as much a blessing as the good thing. In everything, thank God. Because whatever it is, this right now is the will of God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's for us, and God's working it together for our good. And so He calls on us to thank Him and to glorify Him. This is what the psalmist said. You be turning to Romans 11, and I'll read you what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." I'll cry unto Him. I'll thank Him. I'll pour out my needs to Him. I'll just look to Him only, because He's the one that performs all things for me. Now look here in Romans 11:36. This is one of my favorite verses. Romans 11:36. Why do we glorify God for all things? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. That's why we glorify God for all things. All of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. And He gets all the glory. You know, when you look back and you see how that He worked that for my good, and you realize I wouldn't have changed it for anything. As bad as it hurt me, I wouldn't have changed it, because I see now He worked it for my good. That's when you fall down and say, Lord, thank You. Thank You. It's hard to thank Him when you're in it. But when you see what He's done, you say, thank You, Lord. I could not have arranged it that way and would not have arranged it that way. But God did, so I glorify Him. Father, we thank You for this Word. We thank You for Your blessings that You give us in the good things and in the bad things. Help us, Lord, while we're in a fairly easy time. Help us, Lord, to remember that when we come into a tough season, help us to remember to thank You. Use our brethren to help encourage us and console us and comfort us in Christ, and remind us that this too is a blessing by Your hand. Lord, we pray You be with Brother Kevin and Kimberly, and keep them and teach them, and Lord, enable us to help them. We pray for Your saints everywhere that are suffering. There's so many suffering right now. I ask, Lord, You console them and comfort them and make them to know that all things are for their sake. Lord, we ask that You bring our brethren home and that are on vacation and traveling, and that You keep them safe. And Lord, we ask for the grace to bow to whatever it is Your will is. And we pray this now, Lord, in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Brother Art.